Welcome to Talking Bach, a podcast by Bach Academy Australia. I'm Madeline Easton, the Artistic Director of Bach Academy Australia. This podcast series will accompany our next concert series titled Bach, A Child of the Stars. To truly understand a culture, we must explore its relationship to the land, but also to the skies. The land and sky are as one, forever connected. It is with a spirit of connectivity that we present this program of music inspired by the heavenly body that both J.S. Bach and the First Nations peoples of Australia have seen every day for millennia, the morning star, otherwise known as Venus. We are an ensemble dedicated to the works of J.S. Bach. However, we are Bach Academy Australia and therefore seek to unite the incredibly important musical cultures of Europe with the country we stand on by presenting a program of music by Bach and other important composers inspired by the heavens, alongside a newly commissioned work by Australian Indigenous composer Troy Russell, inspired by the Morning Star, just as J.S. Bach was centuries ago. Our guest on today's podcast is the Indigenous composer Troy Russell. So welcome, Troy. Welcome to Talking Bach. It's so lovely to have you on.
It's good to be here. Thanks, Madeline.
Oh, listen, I'm really, really excited about this new project of ours for Bach Academy Australia. It really sort of represents a complete sort of divergence, I suppose, in what we normally present to the Australian public, which is J.S. Bach.
Yeah.
And here we are presenting music with lots of other composers, but most importantly, your work.
It's been a journey so far.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to getting into that a little bit later. But first of all, I just wanted to talk about where you're from. You're from the Greater Manning area, the Biripi people?
Yeah. Okay. So my whole background is my parents met in Taree.
Yep.
Yeah. At a little place outside of Taree called Purfleet. Uh-huh. And I think I'm absolutely sure I was conceived there. And then they moved to Redfern in the city.
Uh-huh.
So they lived there for a little while. Well, I was born there. And then we lived there for a little bit while. And they then moved over to Petersham and then Marrickville. And I grew up there in Marrickville. So that's we lived there until I was into my 20s, 30s.
Yeah.
So quite a while. And then Mum moved over to Glebe, and I was just like, in my 20s, here, there and everywhere.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I take my dad's side of the family saying that, I'm from Perth, but I'm also from Gamilaroi people because my mum, she was from Tinga, and her family is a large family, and she was part of the Munro clan, which is fairly huge.
Yeah. And, it's really amazing because I feel like we sort of have a bit of the area that we both come from in common, really, because my grandfather, even though we have sort of Scottish and Irish descent, he grew up around the Manning area, and the Manning River, we actually took that into our family name. So,
right.
Yeah, so my father was James Manning Easton, and my brother is Edward James Manning Easton.
Wow.
I know.
That's really cool.
So we I feel like that sort of part of our family too, weirdly. And then, my mother came from the New England area. She grew up in Tamworth.
Yeah, right.
So her family were there for quite a few generations. So it's all, I suppose we're all connected, aren't we?
Yeah. Well, there's another layer to that as well.
Yeah.
I met my wife a few years ago, about 13, 14 years ago. And after we'd been married for about, a year or two, we went on this voyage of discovery of where our families came from, and her family came over on the first fleet.
Wow, that's awesome.
Promptly moved to the Taree region. And there's a street named after their family. It's McLennan Street there in Tyree.
Wow.
But they were Scots, and they ended up giving a small... This is all documented in the local papers and all that from around the time, that they gave some land to the local Aboriginal people so that they could farm it because they had a good relationship. So that was her family giving, well, back my family, family some land, and that turned into Perth Lake.
Wow, that's
amazing.
Well,
it's called Sunrise Station for a long time because the Australian Inland Missions took it over and called it Sunrise Station. And the local Aboriginal people couldn't come or go without getting permission to do that. That happened a lot. So.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, yeah.
And the idea of giving back land is spurious, let's face it. I mean,
well, yeah, of course. But, you know, it's a nice bit of family history that
for the
we
two
have
of
between
you,
us.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I know. And I'm so delighted to be working with someone from the part of the country that my family's also from. It's really beautiful, actually.
Yeah, it is.
Aw. So tell me about your band. I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right. Is it G Music?
Hard G.
Hard G Music, sorry.
Yeah, that's
forgive
exactly
me.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
No, you didn't know. You probably need to write that in the bio, Hard G.
Hard G.
But it's a little folk group that me and my friend Bree Baxter formed. And it took on a few different, you know, guises over the years, but we ended up meeting Layla, who's the singer, and we, you know, performed here and there. Bree and I work as teachers. Bree's a school teacher, and I'm a facilitator at a place called NASDA, which is a dance college up on the Circle Coast.
Yeah, I know someone who studies and works there, actually. He's amazing. Oh. I wish I could remember his name. I'll get there. But it's an amazing place.
Right. So, yeah, I teach there. I teach dance film to those students there. So.
Amazing.
And Kim Walker, who's the CEO, he came looking for me to get that job. So,
you were headhunted.
So I was headhunted, which is really, you know, nice. It's only ever happened to me once before. So, anyway.
That's amazing. And you also, you're the technical manager at Koori Radio.
I am.
Is that right?
I do a lot of things there.
Okay.
Technical manager was for a while, for a good few good years, actually. But I've moved over into events management. So that's dealing with artists and putting on events. We've got a large one coming up soon, which is the NAIDOC Ball, and it's also the 30th anniversary of the radio station. So yeah.
That sounds amazing. Oh, my gosh, that sounds beautiful. Is it a volunteer organisation, the Koori Radio?
The broadcasters are all volunteers.
Uh-huh.
There's three paid broadcasters who have the morning show, the mid-morning show, and the afternoon drive show.
Okay.
And all the other broadcasters are the volunteers.
Wow, that's amazing. So everyone who's listening, go and donate to Koori Radio.
And it's an interesting place, you know. We get so many different people coming through our doors because we're also a recording studio. We have a world-class recording studio there.
Wow, brilliant.
Yeah, so we do a lot with people come in or, you know, we offer free programs to walk-ups who want to do a simple demo.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be a full band, which I am sort of dealing with tomorrow.
Okay, that's on the list for
it's
tomorrow.
On the cards, yeah.
But all that amazing technical knowledge you must have is just astounding.
It's just some stuff you pick up over the years. I mean, I did train, you know, to be a filmmaker, and that was my first career was photography and then filmmaking. And I had to subsidise filmmaking, so I became a musician.
Your little musical hobby, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's the bread and butter, isn't it?
So. Yeah, well, it's hard to make it your bread and butter, as we know.
yeah.
So, Troy, you've written quite a lot of music for film and television, including this amazing story called The Last Shot. Tell me about this.
Okay, so it's based on true events. that involved my great grandparents. My great grandmother, who came from the New England area, but she lived in Tamworth. There's a park, a small reserve up there named after her, Granny Munro Reserve.
Okay, I'll be going there the next time I go up.
So the story is, it's based on her life, and it's all told through music and narration, actually. There's only one actor on stage, and he narrates everything. And the music accompanies all that. So, Jimmy and my grandfather, Jimmy, and his wife, Florrie, he comes back from the war. They're going, and, you know, they meet, and he wants to get married. And so they have to, like, to prove themselves to the local elders, they have to take a journey and have to walk there, and they're followed by the elders. But prior to that, there's some tragedy that happens, and the guy who instigates it blames it on Jimmy. So, without giving it all away, it ends up really tragic. So, but a lot of it's based on, you know, my own personal story and how I feel about them and the people involved, because it draws on, say, that story about, well, the what I told you about the my wife's Scottish family giving a parcel of land to the local Aboriginal. That makes it into the story. And Jimmy and this, he's Irish, make it, they're very good friends. And, you know, he talks about, he gave Jimmy a small block in the corner of one of his paddocks. And so they go off to get married. And when they come back, they get up here all happily ever after. But this other thing happens. And yeah.
Well, it sounds like you were, you put your, because it's your family, isn't it? It's your direct family, and this awful tragedy happened to your family. It would have been such a personal thing to write for you, my gosh.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I met my grandmother. I haven't met any of my other grandparents, except for Mum's father, and he was a stockman. So, and in this show, Jimmy is a stockman.
Yeah, right.
You know, so there's all these little, I'm drawing from a lot of different places and, you know, placing them in the war, which is the First World War, and they come back home, and, you know, it's all set around late 1920s, early 1930s.
Yeah, gosh, there were so many stories of both, you know, sort of Indigenous Australians and also, you know, white Australians, what they went through after the war.
Yeah.
I was just involved with a project with the Australian Youth Orchestra. They did a piece about William Cooper, the incredible Indigenous man who marched to Parliament in Melbourne to protest against Kristallnacht.
And wow.
And I think he lost his son in that war as well.
Yeah, right. I know who you mean, but I don't know his story.
Yeah. So tell me, you didn't know that your family was musical, did you?
Well, that comes from my father's side of the family. There's a painting done by John Mundine. I think it's in the one that's the Museum of Contemporary Arts.
Yeah.
I think it hangs there. And it's based on a photograph of these musicians who used to travel around New South Wales, mostly on the coast, but sometimes they travelled inland a bit. And all of those people are my ancestors, for want of a better term, because they're related directly to my father and all that. My father's mother comes a direct line through at least two people in this photograph. So I was writing a piece for the Museum of Sydney, as part of an exhibition that the Royal Australian Navy, we had access to their musicians, so I just chose a piano and a clarinet for this piece. And as the project was going on, the project leader, Kate, I can't remember her last name, she ends up giving me this cutting from a journal, and it tells a story of how these people, where they went and what they did. And the photograph is in this document. So that was really eye-opening for me. But years later, not years later, years before, I found this photograph of my father sitting in like a church band, and they're all playing music. You can see they're all playing, and he's playing a banjo.
Wow.
I didn't know he played banjo. But I'd been playing banjo for a long time before I saw that photo.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah, my gosh. That's amazing.
Yeah. look, I wouldn't say I'm extremely musically talented, especially with a banjo. But, you know, it's nice to know that that's where it comes from.
Oh, absolutely. I think these things do pass down the family line. I know they certainly do in our family.
Yeah.
I mean, our father and my grandfather were incredibly musical. I don't think my grandfather was ever really taught, but we would delight in him sitting down at a keyboard and just improvising stuff he'd picked up by ear. And then my father took that on himself and became a composer as well, actually.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that's incredible. And now you've written for people like Ensemble Offspring and River City Voices and all these fabulous ensembles.
Yeah, like there's a friend of mine, I've known him for about, since we were 28, and he came to a college that I was studying photography at. They also taught music there, Chris Sainsbury.
And, yes, the famous Chris Sainsbury, who I'm dying to meet. Oh, my gosh.
He is a great guy.
Yeah.
You know, we've known each other for that long. And he and this other fellow, John Davis, used to head up Australian Music Centre. Do you know John?
I don't, but I know the Australian Music Centre because my father's music is in there.
Yeah, same. Well, not my father, me.
Yeah, you are in it. Yes.
But between Chris and John, they came up with this idea to form an, because Chris is Indigenous. So he approached John and they came up with this idea to have Indigenous composers start writing music. So they called it Indigenous Composers Initiative as a working title, and I was one of the first people that they asked to come and join, you know.
Wonderful.
I was at a concert at a conservatorium there in Sydney. They were doing a piece of my music at that time that I just wrote offhand back in 1995. And Kevin Hunt asked if I had any music to put into this thing because he ran this whole project. And I said, I'll get this piece. And they worked it up and it was really good.
Brilliant.
But I met this John and Chris there at the conservatorium and they said, do you want to be part of this? And I said, yeah, sure, you know. And then about a year later, Claire and her ensemble came on board and we started writing music towards that. So I wrote two pieces and, yeah.
It's great. I think this Aboriginal Composition Initiative is brilliant because it sort of highlights and puts a laser beam on these amazing compositions which are coming from wonderful composers like yourselves. And it also makes it easier for other people to kind of come across your work and access it and perform it more widely, I would have thought. You know, and to get the publicity that Claire and Offspring is bringing is just great.
Yeah. So the name, it's the project's name now is Nara Buria. So it's NGARRA, BURRIA.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris wrote this book called Nara Buria, The Search for.
I hope all your the listeners got their pencils out and write that down right then.
Yeah, it was a Nara Buria First Peoples Composers Program. So in 2020 to 22, during the whole COVID period, Nara Buria won a major International Classical Music Innovation Award in Hanover, the Classical Next Award.
Amazing.
Wow. So that program won that. The exhibition that was at the Museum of Sydney, that exhibition won the Museums and Galleries Award, and there was another one, I can't think.
Okay, so it was kind of a success then, huh? Like, yeah.
It's still ongoing. We still take on, you know, more people, composers from around the country as they come through. And some of the composers that are involved now all very talented musicians, and you know, were really happy to be involved in this. So,
yeah, it's wonderful. It's amazing that the music you have inside you can be sort of adapted and translated into something that we can play on, I suppose, Western classical instruments.
Mm, mm.
I think that's great.
But like coming up, like so. Sorry.
Was that a guitar I heard?
Yeah.
Yes. That's hilarious. I'm in a studio full of guitars here as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, same. I'm sitting at my computer in my little office, which is really messy. There's stuff everywhere, and I just turn my chair and I need this guitar, which I should hang back up on the wall.
Don't worry. I love it.
Mm.
And now you're writing for us. You're writing for Bach Academy Australia.
Yeah.
So this mad project that we're doing together, the whole point of it for us is over the last couple of years, well, ever since I started the ensemble back in 2017, I've been racking my brains trying to find a way to unite the Western classical tradition of Bach, who we, you know, consider the founder of Western classical music as we know it. He's the great granddaddy. He's the man, you know. He's the alpha and the omega, as our international patron Sir John Elliott Gardiner describes him as. He's the beginning and the end. Everything is built on Bach. But, you know, he was a German composer.
Yeah.
But we're not in Germany. We're in Australia. Yeah. We're on Aboriginal land. And how on earth was I meant to unite our great our inspiration, J.S. Bach, to the land that we stand on? And then I had this bonkers idea to sort of look up, really. And then I thought, hang on a minute, there's Venus up there. And then something in my brain went, didn't Bach write a cantata about the morning star?
Yeah.
I thought, yeah, he did. And I sort of researched it. And there was BWV 1, Wie schön leuchtet der Morgenstern. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It's the happiest piece. I don't know if you've had a chance to listen to it yet, but it's the happiest, most uplifting, inspired piece. It doesn't matter if you're religious or not. This piece will lift your spirits. And then I thought, gosh, this has been inspiring people, you know, for ever since the human race evolved over there. But what about here in Australia? And then, of course, I talked to a few people here and they said, you know that Venus is really important to Indigenous astronomy too. And I said, well, no, I didn't know that. And then they advised me to read this book called Sky Country by Christelle de Napoli and Carly Noon. And I just discovered all this incredible information about Indigenous astronomy. And I thought, this might be the link that I've been looking for, to sort of put together a program of music which celebrates the Western view of the heavens and then, you know, the Indigenous view of the heavens and unite them all through music, which is where you come in, my dear.
Yeah. we spoke about this for a long while. And
yeah, we have.
Just, you know, like thinking of how this music's going and where it's going and how it started and all this sort of stuff. And, you know, it starts with that first note and a bit of reading, of course.
A bit of reading, yeah, exactly.
And, I'm trying to get a really, an intense journey, but it's really nice. It's not, I suppose, like, as we're getting closer to where I'm handing it over to you guys, I'm saying that not panic, but...
Oh, don't panic. No panicking.
Yeah, no. I always do it anyway. But, you know, like, I've been a musician for a long time, since my teens, and I've always had that feeling of being an imposter for what I'm doing. Because, like, I know some of the pieces I write are really nice.
That breaks my heart to hear that, because you're such an incredible composer.
Thank you. But, yeah, I've sort of, I mean, I know how to handle a film camera, a movie camera. I know how to handle a guitar and a banjo and a couple of other instruments and, yeah, and all this sort of stuff. And still, when it comes to composing, I still feel like, how did I get here? You know? And, yeah, it's been a really fantastic journey, and it won't stop now. You know.
I hope not.
No. I don't have no intention of stopping.
All I can say is that for me, this work you're creating is so, so important, I feel. Just to sort of unite you know, where I come from and my Western heritage with the land that not just me, but we all stand on here in Australia. It's important because, you know, we're Bach Academy, but we're Bach Academy Australia. And we will definitely go on playing J.S. Bach and celebrating him, but we cannot forget what we're doing, where we are right here. And your piece is just, I can't find the words to describe how important it is to us. But it's also a chance, actually, to celebrate astronomy.
Yeah.
You know, and in our program, we will have Professor Jonathan Bland Hawthorne coming in and giving this lovely presentation about the Western view of the heavens. He's going to be talking about Galileo and Copernicus and Bach and all these wonderful things. And we will have an Indigenous presenter. I'm organising through the Sydney Observatory, who have a wonderful component there. And we're going to have someone talk about the Indigenous view of the heavens in the same program. So we'll have the balance. Yeah. And what I would love to achieve is a connection between the sky and the earth. Because from what I can gather from that wonderful book I read, you can't separate the two. You can't separate the earth from the sky and the sky and the earth. And
no. The Aboriginal people like relied on the night sky and for their, you know, everything about their lives. And it's really intense once you get into what the understanding of what happens with you know, different times of the sky throughout the year. And there's a place down the Victorian border between New South Wales and Victoria where somebody thousands of years ago laid out all these stones, and it shows you the winter and the summer solstices to the exact degree what's happening in the sky.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
And there's plenty of other places, you know, not just here in Australia but around the world, of course. But, you know, especially to do with the Southern Cross and how it's viewed and the dark emu in the sky and all that sort of thing. So depending on how much of the dark emu we see in the sky during any one time of the year, things are happening with the landscape and the animals and all this sort of thing going on. And, it can be really interesting.
Yeah, and, you know, the Indigenous peoples of Australia were able to tell exactly what would be happening with the with crops and plants and animals, and they could tell to the nth degree how to predict all of that according to where the stars were in the sky.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, it's absolutely incredible. And we'll also have this beautiful artwork of Kevin Merritt called Venus as part of this program as well. I found this painting online, and it's actually currently hanging in the University of Manchester in the UK.
Oh, wow.
But we were very lucky to get permission to reproduce his beautiful image, and I think everyone who sees it will be...
Yeah, that's the one on the...
On our website.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's nice. It's very nice.
So your piece is titled Clans.
Yep.
Do you want to just tell us a little bit about why you've chosen that title?
Yeah, I suppose, like, with the clans, it's, you know, it's our families that have been brought together and how extensive these families are. The different, like, I've got through my father's side of the family a connection to the Second Fleet. And a Scotsman was brought over on the Second Fleet, and this is well documented, and that's where I get the Russell name from.
Yeah, wow, yes, of course.
So his name was Robert Russell, but then there's got, you know, my great grandmother's part of the family, and I don't even know who the people are before her, you know, because they had traditional names. And then my wife's family, you know, so all these clans are coming together, and, you know, they sort of are laser focused in on this one project. I think this includes you as well.
Me?
Yeah, gosh. Because you've got that Manning River connection, you know.
Yeah.
The Manning River to the local Aboriginal people up there. It's just the most amazing source of food and all sorts of other things, you know. Yeah.
Wow.
So I just think it's part of all that. It's been coming together for a while. So, yeah.
Great. Well, look, I personally cannot wait to give the world premiere of your new work.
Oh, thank you.
Coming up. And so for those of you who would like to come and hear this incredible piece of music alongside Bach's cantata BWV1 and also works by Thomas Luis de Vitoria and Vincenzo Galilei, who was Galileo's father, an amazing musician, we will be premiering this piece on the 24th of September at 7:30 p.m. in the Great Hall of Sydney University, which is one of the most atmospheric venues, I think, anywhere in Sydney. And then on Saturday, the 25th of September, out in the Blue Mountains, actually, in Glenbrook, at St. Finbar's Church. And then on Sunday, the 26th of September, at 2:30 p.m. at Our Lady of Dolores Church in Chatswood. So there'll be three chances to hear this beautiful work of Troy's. You can buy tickets at www.bachacademyaustralia.com.au. And just for those of you, Academy is spelt the German way, which is A-K-A-D-E-M-I-E. Or look us up on the website. There's a phone number there for you to call. We can't wait to see you there. Now, Troy, are you going to be up at the Garma Festival this week?
Yeah, I wish.
Oh, yeah.
I've experienced it once, and when my wife and I talk about it to anybody else, we still get teary about it. So,
yeah.
It's that has that much of an effect.
Yeah.
I wish I was going again.
Yeah, I'm going to head up as soon as I get the chance. It just looks like such a great week up there.
Yeah, it is beautiful.
Oh, yeah, great. Well, listen, Troy, thank you a billion times for coming and being our guest on this podcast. It's been lovely to talk to you about your amazing family history, all your incredible, your knowledge is, that fantastic, all those skills you have in filming and television and technical knowledge. But then thank you most of all for your beautiful music.
Thank you. It was really great to talk to you, Madeline.
Thanks so much. Thank you, Troy. So that was Talking Bach with our guest, Troy Russell. And for more information, just head to our website, www.bachacademyaustralia.com.au. Well, I hope you enjoyed that chat as much as I did. To find out more about Bach Academy Australia, go to our website, www.bachacademyaustralia.com.au. Make sure you spell Academy the German way, A-K-A-D-E-M-I-E. On our website, you will find details of all our performances near you, and you can also subscribe to our e-newsletter so you don't miss any of our news. You can also follow us on all the socials of your choice. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening and catch you next time.